I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me.
Hello, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And welcome back to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we analyze, discover, uncover, hashtag about the hottest trends and happenings and things that we think might be a thing and are wondering if they're a thing and are gut checking with you whether they're a thing by, of course, our still not yet patented method.
Got to get on that.
Of looking out the window and sometimes reading a magazine.
Pending. We want to change that to say pending.
Pending. We do. Once we apply.
They'll never patent long-time us, but we listeners, can always be pending.
I don't know. Long-time listeners will know that my belief is that the patent office will...
They'll patent like almost
a,
anything.
Like days, a happy right. Automated monkey, patent almost anything.
Let's call it software.
Hey, as a service.
Yeah. And then they'll be like, oh, well, it's software.
Convince me that this show is not somehow software as a service.
It is entirely software as a service, as described in my 15-page application.
Thank you for joining us yet again for our nonsensical tour.
I have a trend that was written up in Variety by somebody who makes a company that does these.
Okay.
But I find it interesting that this name has been given to them, and I think it could catch on and be one of those cases where something that's been around for literally probably a decade or more gets a name and becomes a thing. Right?
Okay.
So yes, this is a potentially emergent thing. Microcasts. And I quote from the Variety article, enter the Microcast.
Oh,
it's a mini podcast designed for distribution across multiple media, including smart speakers, podcast apps, and now even Spotify playlist. Its length, 7 to 10 minutes, and its content are uniquely optimized for use on all these platforms, distinguishing it from ordinary voice skills and podcasts.
Fascinating. I would argue that awesomely, I'm already on trend because I do a weekday microcast.
Oh, that's funny.
Marketplace Tech, the podcast is like 7 to 10 minutes and
myself and Rich Straffolino also do a daily 5-minute podcast.
What do you know?
Holy craps.
We are on top of it. Yeah, Up First is a microcast. Axios Pro Rata is a microcast. But I do see...
BBC News is a microcast.
BBC News.
NPR is a microcast.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically like nobody said ever that a podcast has to be 45 minutes long. It just sort of happened that way.
Yeah.
So you're just describing a podcast. But what they're really describing, which they gave a stupid name to, is the fact that like listening interfaces are becoming so much more broad, and that there are these sort of collections of listening that you didn't necessarily used to have before. This is really just smart speaker stuff.
No, in fact, it's not so much that microcasts are new. It's that the current formats in which you listen to things favor them more than they used to. This is similar to I read an article in The Economist about Spotify is causing and other services like Spotify are causing musicians to get to the hook faster because want, when a song comes up, you want people to be like, oh yeah, I want to add that to my playlist.
Right. It's Spotify, but it's also just like the increasingly shrinking, the magically shrinking attention span of the attention economy. It's like,
if you don't get me
in 6 seconds. And there was like, as when Vine was becoming really big, and then Musical.ly, and then now TikTok, like there is conversation about whether people are going to start creating 6 to 15 second songs.
Yeah, it's
like music that only exists to be.
It's a vicious cycle, right? Because there is the shortening attention span, and then Spotify makes it so easy to skip to the next thing or not, you know, add something to a playlist. Whereas back in the cassette days, I don't know why I chose cassettes, but
adorable.
it was harder to get out of a song, right? You had to stop and fast forward. LPs, same way. And even CDs, when you had a skip button, you had to get up and walk over there, press the skip button, right? So people more often listen to albums. So that's a whole separate thing. But Microcast is benefiting from the fact that, oh, we're having these playlists of podcasts on Spotify. Well, do you want a playlist of 16 hour-long podcast, or do you want a playlist of 16 5 to 10 minute podcasts?
Exactly. And actually, Rich, producer Rich points out in the Discord that some of this was driven probably by people crafting content to go into flash briefings.
Oh, totally.
Which I think is really true. Yeah. I mean, we created a skill on the other show that is literally just on Make Me Smart, that is literally just like get a little 45 second to a minute info blurb.
Right. And that's how Daily Tech Headlines happened. I was like, oh, I could put this on the Amazon Echo as a flash briefing. That's perfect. Yeah.
Yep. Which, honestly, I'm here for this. Like, I'm not into calling them microcasts out loud. Remember when transmedia was a thing?
Oh, wow. I forgot about that.
Yeah. It was like the shortest lived, thank goodness, marketing push ever. But for a while, it was like, oh, everything has to be transmedia, which means available to be consumed on newspaper, website, radio, TV, you know, there'll be this, we'll have a transmedia strategy. And this is kind of that, except it's really just like, also it has to be kind of short because people don't have a lot of time.
Yeah. And I mean, they don't want long things, right? Because short updates, like short news updates on radio have existed forever, right? Because people just want a short news update before they get to whatever programming they want otherwise. But it's different when you're on an Amazon Echo or a Google Home. You don't want to stand there next to it and listen, right?
Right, right. You only have the amount of time that you're cooking breakfast, basically.
Yeah, like, right. I guess we're both personalizing this to our usages, which is in the kitchen in both cases, I guess.
I think the data bears out that most people are using their, I'm literally looking around to see if there's one in here, their Alexa devices in the kitchen, I think. Aren't they? Like they're using them to set timers and they're using them while they cook dinner.
We use ours most in the bathroom to listen to music while we're getting ready in the morning.
Oh.
In the kitchen to listen to my flash briefing and just kind of see news items and stuff. And then merely as a passive receiver in the living room to turn the television on and off and the lights on and off.
Yeah, mine is the same, actually, the living room one. I was making a little overshare noise about the bathroom thing. That's funny, but that is a good idea because Eli always, we have a big fight every time he takes a shower because he wants to take his phone in and listen to music. And I'm like, no, you're going to be in there forever. And not a bad idea.
I mean, I'm brushing my teeth listening to today's hits. It's how I keep up.
Huh.
I wouldn't know about Black Bear, F you and you and you and you and you if it wasn't for that.
Oh, my God. Have you heard I can not sing or even say or repeat any of the words in this song, but there's basically a song that just came out that is called Snitch. And it's a rap song dedicated to
Tekashi
6ix9ine. And it's like a mad TikTok meme. Like,
oh, wow. You know, yeah,
everybody's
that
like
makes
doing
sense.
Their songs to it and stuff, but it basically is like bad word, N-word, bad word, snitch. Bad word, N-word, bad word, snitch. Bad word, N-word, bad word, snitch. Like, and it just over and over and over. And I'm pretty sure that's the entire song. And it's basically just like, yeah, to follow up on a thing from last time. Luckily, I have TikTok to learn the top hits that will never get played on the radio ever.
Oh, yeah. Well, isn't that weird? I was thinking about that with the Black Bear song, too. I'm like, how do they play this on the radio? Do they play this on the radio? Like,
I don't even know. Let's just say that sub thing to all this conversation is that the idea of bad words seems to have completely gone away.
Like, they're still bad, but now it's like, can you not say it in this situation? I understand it's going to be said in all these other situations.
Yeah, dude, like the F word was on FX the other day or something. Like, I'm just not even, I don't even,
yeah.
Let's just say I've lifted the shackles at home. Like, I have a teenager and it's literally on TV or on billboards or whatever. And so I'm just like, yeah, we're saying whatever we want to say.
Interesting.
I swear like a sailor.
Well, I wonder what the effect of that will end up being. Will it demystify bad words, or is bad words an endemic thing to human nature that will always carry some punch?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Or maybe we'll just get new ones.
Like the word boomer.
Boomer.
Darn boomer.
Boomer.
Hey, now, that's not nice. Don't say that in mixed company.
That's so rude.
Mixed company being boomers in the room. Sorry.
No, the other day, actually, Eli called me a boomer. No, he called one of his friends a boomer or something. And I was like, oh, I said, I'm like, that was a thing. And he goes, I know, I listened to the podcast.
I saw a tweet that said, boomers and Gen Xers, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, don't lump us in there.
Luckily, I'm still clinging to my Xennial status.
Good for you.
My Xennial status and my teenager are what allowed me to find out that this next thing is a thing. Also, TikTok. So, recently, Mario Kart Tour came out last month, September 25th.
Super popular.
Super popular. Like, huge deal. Nintendo's most popular mobile launch ever. And everyone's so excited about it. But that is actually not why Mario Kart Tour is a thing. Like, it is a thing in the popularity way. But the reason it's a thing today is because it's also a thing in that sort of special love-hate way that the internet sometimes gets with something, and then it becomes meme fodder. And so, apparently, Mario Kart Tour is great and very fun and really hard to play. Like, the controls are super confusing, and you're on the phone, and no one can figure out how to steer, and they're always just, like, driving into stuff. And so, as a result, they're tweeting about it constantly, but also making tons of meme videos of just not being able to drive. And then just hilarious TikTok videos where it's like just some narration of some other disastrous situation. Like this one that we watched this morning is like this kid talking about how his mom is trying to help him control his weight. And she went through the trash to find out if he had any wrappers in there. And then he was like, "You went through the trash? What are you, a raccoon?" And it's this whole little rant about his mom trying to overly control his eating, all set to like this Mario Kart Tour video where he runs into the wall every 5 seconds.
So it goes both ways. It can be like audio set to the Mario Kart or video set to the idea, the audio of Mario Kart, it looks like. Yeah.
And like, and then little, you know, appropriate music where they, I mean, the editing is so clever where there's like a huge crash in the music or a beat drop or whatever, and then you run into the wall. But yes, it is Mario Kart Tour memes are everywhere. I mean, congrats to Nintendo for making a fun game that everybody wanted to download, and Mario Kart, yay, like I'm probably going to get it. And of course, as microtransactions and all of those things. But the fact that it's just sort of like also so annoying that it has spawned a million TikToks is what really takes it to thing status.
And TikTok, I think we have now solidified in our two conversations here, has become the vector of choice for culture these days.
It's the thing setter.
Yeah.
Oh, have I ever said thing setter? Like trendsetter?
I don't know.
Thing setter? I don't know, but make that a thing, everybody.
Add that to the glossary, please.
Because trends are note to producer Rich. Please update the glossary with the one term.
That will be our prize that we give out to the people who write in with the excellent things.
Yes. Like Shannon.
Shannon K is a thing setter.
We've been calling her a thing scout, but no, she's a thing setter.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Absolutely.
This show gets so much better all the time in real time.
Yeah, that's how it gets better, folks.
Yep. Also, Lakshada in the Discord points out that after Taylor Lorenz writes something about anything, it is a thing. And that is so true. Taylor Lorenz, formerly of The Atlantic, now of The New York Times. I am like fan.
Lakshada's whole post is posting TikToks to Twitter and sharing the tweets to Facebook and Instagram after Taylor Lorenz writes something about it is the path. Yeah.
That is totally the path. That is the path. God, amazing. She's good. She is like seriously the oracle of our time.
We'll get her on.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I've had her on the other shows more than once because I'm totally like, tell me everything. You're so good at
Feed
this.
Me, Taylor. I want to check in on a personal indicator of a thing that I keep track of. I've mentioned over the years, as a matter of fact, that my wife, Eileen, is into K-beauty. And for many years, we had overflowing bins of sheet masks. Okay. When you could only go to Seoul to get the best sheet masks, we went to Seoul and got the best sheet masks and brought them back. And I have a great picture of her trying to like fit all the beauty products into a suitcase and stuff years ago. Well, the other day I looked over and I realized that the sheet mask bin was a little bare, not empty, but a little bare. And I asked her, I was like, are sheet masks not a, I didn't want to say not a thing anymore, but like, what's up with the sheet masks? She's like, oh, no, the sheet masks are still great. She's like, a lot of them expire though, and you can't use them anymore. And I'm more into eye masks,
like
just around the eye. And I realized, aha, not calling it over for sheet masks by any stretch, but we just talked about the fact that you can now get the sheet masks in the CVS and Walgreens. And that I feel like, that has now peaked.
Clearly. And like the people now, sheet masks are basically your favorite indie band that signed with a big label and now you're not
right,
into them anymore.
Right. and so there's amazing. You know, they're still making very popular albums that many people are buying, but yeah.
But now sheet masks are Nickelback. Like we just can't do or Coldplay. They used to be so cutting edge and now they're just everywhere. Wow. Yeah. There is a special.
Lights go down in the sheet mask store.
There is a special thing status for something that the cutting edge is sort of quietly rejecting. And then, like, whatever Eileen is into now, if it's eye masks, in like 2 months, we'll be like, you know what's kind of a thing? Eye masks.
Eye masks. Yeah. Eye masks are. They're the strong area now, and don't get me wrong, she was not in any way like dissing sheet masks. Sheet mask fans, I don't know if
they're sheet mask fans,
but I could tell that, you know, the attention. And then I looked in the bin and I was like, well, that's an eye mask. That's an eye mask too. Like mostly eye masks in there.
Oh my god! Now we're in the Discord. By the way, we're talking about what other band sheet masks have become. The Black Keys.
I suggest
the White Stripes.
Mm-hmm. That's good. eye masks are Lil Nas X.
Recently, my son's friend started texting me. Like, my son on his phone, right? So Eli was like, hey, can my friend text you? I'm like, okay. And so he sends me some texts, and I said, and he goes, oh, well, so later I said, what was that about? And he goes, oh, well, he just thinks you're really funny on text. And I was like, oh, thanks.
You have a text fan.
Really funny.
That's great.
Yeah, no. It turns out that they think that I'm funny because my texts are so old sounding.
Oh, because you write full words.
I write full words. And I said, the one that apparently sent them way over the edge was when I said, that really made me LOL. And I just wanted to emphasize that it was funny enough that indeed I literally laughed out loud. And he was like, no, there's a way that you say that. LMFAO. I was like, what? And then he told me all the new rules for how you say LOL at all, which is, by the way, none of the letters can be capitalized. And that caused me to say, yeah, but it's impossible to do that because if you just type LOL, it capitalizes the first letter. And he's like, Mom, everyone turns off autocorrect.
What?
Uh-huh. And so I started looking around the internet to verify this, as you do. Taylor Lorenz has not written about it yet, but I'm sure that's coming.
Yeah, it's publishing right now, probably.
But deliberate poor grammar of the kind that you see typed over, you know, over memes and in TikToks and like in the dog language, the doggo speak, all
of
that.
Well, and I oop is deliberately poor grammar, for instance. Yeah.
Totally. Or it me.
It me, right?
All of these things that are indeed somewhat hard to accomplish if your phone is trying to help you.
Uh-huh.
And so they all turn off their autocorrect. And they spell I'm just lowercase I-M. And I know. I hear you freaking out. And I have had the same freak out. However, it is weirdly freeing.
I'm also watching the Discord reactions. The Maw of Madness. How will we differentiate ourselves from the animals?
I know. I really, and they're ouch, and no, and the, oh God. Yeah, exactly. Like, this is the response we're all happening because like, really, typing without autocorrect just sounds, I've tried it. It's insane. It's impossible. Like, words don't come out right. It is though you've literally forgotten how to type or speak. And yeah, like, typos have been a big part of internet culture for a long time. But this is so deliberate and specific. It's like the first thing they do when they get a new phone is turn off autocorrect.
It's like turning off the typing sounds.
Yeah. That is the sign of a true rookie, leaving the typing sounds on. Oh, man. When I see that lady in the grocery store, I'm always like, oh, honey.
Yeah. And they're looking at us using autocorrect the same way.
But I will say that although I would never have considered this under normal circumstances ever in my entire life, now that iOS 13 is out, I'm thinking about it.
Why iOS 13 pushing you over the edge?
This is all literally just a gateway for me to bring about iOS 13, the and worst we're fine software update I have ever encountered from Apple. Like, it is terrible. Why is the autocorrect so bad? Somehow it like enabled French. It added a French keyboard to my keyboard settings as my second language. And so
That did not happen to me.
Really? Yeah, it happened. Fully half of my autocorrects were French. I'm sorry.
How did these things happen to you? Like, that's hilarious.
I know. I mean, it is magnetic field. But like,
I know.
Dear artificial intelligence, if I am typing in English, why would I want you to turn T-H-E into T-H-E with an accent aigu so that it says T? Like, I'm typing...
Not talking about T.
Not T. Like, what in the hell? Or the other day, I wrote a word that included the letter A, and it put a little accent over the A, so to mean at instead of
Maybe maybe it's a compliment. Your phone is like, oh, well, this woman is chic. She must speak French.
That's adorable, but it is not a compliment. It's just so stupid. And also, it's stupid machine learning, right? Like, every other word is in English.
Well, and that's the dichotomy, right? Everyone's afraid that machine learning is going to, you know, take our jobs at the same time that it can't really get much right.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy. And then it's just sort of like, it's so inconsistent and weird. And like, I typed something the other day. It was like a really obvious word, like, it was contacts.
Contacts. Easy word.
Because Apple has a quote unquote product called contacts.
Uh-huh.
I typed the word contacts and it capitalized it and put an apostrophe in it.
Where'd the apostrophe go?
I don't know. Oh, C-O-N-T-A-C-T apostrophe S.
What? That doesn't even make sense for the product.
No one would ever even type that in relation to a product, but just because contacts, the app exists on the phone, doesn't mean that I ever want to talk about it in that context.
If you're typing the app's problems, contacts problems are, yeah.
Right.
Then you would use an apostrophe. That's ridiculous.
Bananas. So anyway, all of that is to say, and to echo Lakshada in the Discord, that it was one ducking too many. I think maybe the kids are onto something with disabled autocorrect.
Possibly for the wrong reason. They are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to intentionally type bad grammar, but not having to deal with the pain of autocorrect maybe is just the same as dealing with the pain of having to retype things, because I have to retype things all the time.
Right. Right.
It's always trying autocorrect for even before iOS 13. It's autocorrecting to things that I'm like, no, that is not. What did my brother send me earlier? It's my brother's birthday coming up. I sent him a Green Bay Packers sweatshirt because he lives up in Wisconsin. He's a Packers fan. Oh, and he was checking in to make sure like the fires here in LA weren't affecting us, which they're not, thankfully. He's like, good. I got the alerts at work about the refill too soon in LA. Fires is what he was typing the fires, but it auto-corrected it to refill too soon.
I mean,
how does that even make sense?
Yeah, I don't know. And it really has sort of like gotten worse, and I assume they've tried to, but it's also, it is back to the point about how the machines are not going to take over. Like the one recent, a couple of days ago, I had a complete fit about the name of my son's elementary school, which he's not at anymore, but this is a word that I typed every single day for like 7 years, right? Lot of times a day. We went to the school for, and it's in my contacts. It is populated all throughout my email, and yet every time I try to type it, the phone changes it to something else. Like, never learns it. Has never learned it in 9 years
That's
of usage.
So weird. Yeah.
anyway.
That's not working. The thing about iOS 13 that bugs me the most is they moved things in the keyboard just enough I haven't quite got used to not typing a little lower down, and so I'm constantly changing the keyboard to the emoji keyboard.
Yes, me too. I noticed that also. And there was no need for that. And then they completely changed the way that you select versus like cut and copy. Like they moved the select thing out of the cut and copy menu or something. And one is like a hard press and one is a light tap.
I ran into that today too. Yeah.
I get that it's trying to do too much, but it just feels like a lack of competition.
I will say just for balance, when I'm doing Duolingo, auto suggest is on and it's almost like cheating. Because it knows that, oh, you're in Duolingo. You often type, you know, high school student, because I'm learning Japanese and this is the section where it's like teaching me high school, elementary, university, right? Yeah. And so it's constantly like, probably university students. And I'm like, yes, indeed it is. Thank you for the hint.
I didn't learn any Japanese from that, but you did help me out quite a lot. I feel like in the interest of balance, I should say, I do love dark mode. I put dark mode on everything. So that was a thing on one of our recent episodes.
Yeah, yeah. Dark mode is very popular. I don't really care about it. When it's on, I'm fine with it, but I don't seek it out. I wonder if I'd be happier if I did, though.
I gotta say, I didn't think I was gonna be happier either, and at first I was annoyed, and one of the things I'm very annoyed about is that in dark mode, selecting text is virtually
easier.
Invisible. No, it's invisible.
Oh, it's harder. Okay.
Yeah, like you can't
see. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because the cursor's cursor not, color yeah. didn't change. It's still that sort of light blue.
Well, that's an oversight.
And so then, right. This is the kind of attention to detail I'm talking about. Like, this is what has always made iOS the best in the business. And I'm like, wait, in dark mode, you left the cursor and the text selection color the same light blue that is invisible, especially when you're outside? Like, come on, guys. Get it together.
Also, we're just going to change macOS apps to not work, even if large companies like Adobe haven't yet caught up. I mean, part of that, I blame the companies. They've had some time, but still, like no upgrade path, no alert, just, oh, your app doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. It's a lack of competition, guys. I know this has turned into a whole other show, and I apologize. And
welcome to Buzz Out Loud, the podcast of indeterminate existence.
Exactly. Sometimes
it just pops up.
This feels like a good time to go to your feedback.
Let's do it. Joe plans the IAT party in honor Woo-hoo. Of cancel culture. Let's schedule our It's a Thing party for every weekend from now until we have it and cancel it every Thursday night because we are all going to just snuggle with our Yeti tumblers full of orange wine.
That is amazing. And I also really like that we're reclaiming cancel culture too. No, we mean cancel plans.
We mean cancel plans. Yeah, I know. I'm fully into that. Well done, Joe.
The best. Endorse. Words cannot even express how many emails, tweets, Instagram comments, and the like we got about the Subaru Crosstrek.
I mean, it lit a fire.
Yeah. Can we get a nailed it? Do we have the sound effect?
I don't have it.
Oh, okay. Well, apparently we nailed it with the Crosstrek thing. And I'm just going to say I worried at first that it might be specific to the Bay Area. And then I was in Chicago for like 35 hours until last night. And I saw like 11 million Crosstreks. And then we got these 11 million emails. For example, Jeff, who wrote in and said, I own a 2016 Subaru Crosstrek in dark blue with khaki leather interior. So hits close to home for me a bit. It is a running shoe style, which I liked. I mean, it has little orange tags on the seats that read Crosstrek. And he says the Crosstrek is just an Impreza wagon with a lift kit. Several people wrote in, by the way, to say that part of the reason that the Crosstrek is so great is that it's got an 8.5-inch clearance, ground clearance, even which for a small hatchback is amazing. That's probably my biggest complaint about my little race car. But he says that in Columbus, Ohio, at least, the Forester is really the jam. That's the one that everybody gets.
Mm-hmm. I like hearing those regionalisms. That's interesting.
Yep, totally.
We also had people writing in on the Subaru Crosstrek from around the country, including that Charlie dude, Chris in Minneapolis, where the favorite color is blue. Lynn sees them in D.C. Paul, the software entomologist, khaki cars as a general thing.
That's true.
Eric saw two in 24 hours after listening to this while eating mediocre yogurt.
Is mediocre yogurt a sub thing?
I think it might be. Or it's an ancillary to the Bader-Meinhof effect.
Oh, maybe. And I should say that long time Tom and Molly listener Hollyhock wrote in to say, like, I guess me and my wife are a thing because they have one. Seems like a lot of people have it in Orange, actually.
And then, of course, Reggie sent in the Cross Trek inspired music made by Hobo Johnson, the rapper.
Who he said may also be a thing, but for different reasons.
Yeah, possibly.
Oh, my God. All right. We're going to have to play that. And then let's see. Luke on Sad Fishing wrote in and said, you were wondering if there's a Debbie Downer / pity party cultural equivalent to Sad Fishing. And yes, I came across it the other day in an episode of the new vampire comedy, What We Do in the Shadows. SNL's Vanessa Bayer plays an, quote, emotional vampire who extracts energy from others by draining their pity and emotional reserves. My cat died. My mother's sick. I never had a family. And he said, although I'm pretty sure Sad Fishing is a little friendlier than calling someone out as an emotional vampire. And then off subject, but the best fishing portmanteau is hat fishing, where a guy wears a hat in the club to hide his receding hairline. Friend saw me saw a woman take a potential suitor's hat off, and she said, just making sure you aren't hat fishing me. That's amazing. That is amazing.
We had a whole conversation about hat fishing on Good Day Internet earlier this week because I'd seen this email and I couldn't hold it back. I was like, do you know? Because Roger Chang's reaction was like, wait, women don't like bald men? That doesn't make sense. And I was like, that's your reaction to hat fishing? Okay.
What? That's hilarious. That's a Roger Chang moment.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Luke also wrote in to say the perfect coffee mug is the Hydro Flask.
Oh, yeah.
The coffee stays so hot, which is totally true. But it's, you know, it's big. We're about the small tumbler. And then he attached his favorite star sticker because they are, in fact, a thing. And his favorite star sticker is a gold star that says, you explained my joke to me, with a thumbs up. Which, by the way, is literally my favorite thing to do. And I cannot wait to go find the sticker and use it everywhere.
And then Heather on Tiny Cider wrote, I have really enjoyed your show and specifically your adult beverage discussions. As a Gen Xer, I lived through the sad days of Zima. And I have to say that this summer I found Boozy Seltzer to be a huge improvement. I also felt that this summer's White Claw drought was a sham. There are so many other brands, some I thought much better. What I'm writing about today is what I consider a merging of things. Strongbow Cider, one of my favorite ciders, by the way. Strongbow Cider is now selling 12 packs in 100 calorie cans.
Oh.
They're larger than a tiny Coke, but smaller than the average boozy seltzer. Uh-huh. In college, Strongbow was considered a weird pick. At our Beers of the World bar in D.C., it's wild to see it marketed as a low-cal option, but I'm okay with it.
That is amazing, yes, because the small can thing, it was a total trend. I just noticed this, too. Oh,
yeah.
So smart. After
I saw Heather's email, too, I noticed that Corona shows a small can version of Corona in its ads now, which I see during the baseball coverage during the playoffs.
Wow. Amazing. All right. Well, that's good. We're all going to a smaller,
cannier
portion size. Portion size, everyone. It's the key to everything.
Absolutely. Also, folks, we have new patron rewards. If you haven't checked them out, you can get bonus content. Extended conversations from Molly, myself, and our producer Rich at the I can't remember what level, but you can see it at patreon.com/itsathing. And at a certain level, you get a shout out. So shout out to Mike Akins and Louis St. Amour.
Yes, thank you for supporting us at the shout out level. Thanks to everybody actually who supports the show. It really makes it possible every week. It's wonderful. You should all know that I'm finally going to get a new computer so that we don't have to worry about our about weird little audio blips because my poor 2013 MacBook Air is out of memory.
Oh, poor thing.
That's all because of you, everyone. Thank you.
You could also email us your things. Keep them coming. Either pop them in the Discord in the Things channel or email them to us at feedback@itsathing.me.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I literally had so much fun this week reading all the Subaru Crosstrek emails. That's why we do it. Just that.
Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.